We continue 20 lines up from the bottom on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. We are still discussing some form of Hechsher Kalim, not in the standard way that we do Hechsher Kalim today, but certainly one aspect of it. The Brisa begins with the following statement. This is not totally disconnected from the previous Gemara, but it is a different topic. Tanur Rabbanan Hagas V'Hamachatz V'Hamashpeich Shel Ovdei Kochavim Rebbe Matre Beniguv V'Chachamim Ostrin. So these are the gas is the wine press, and machatz is some sort of vessel which looks like a ladle, I guess Rashi seems to indicate, and a mashpeich, perhaps some other similar related vessel. So the gas and the machatz and the mashpeich that belong to an Ovdei Kochavim. And now you want to use them, a Jew wants to use them. So what's the process of koshering these items? So Rebbe says niguv suffices, and the Chachamim say no, niguv is no good. Chachamim osrin. Now when they say Chachamim osrin, that doesn't mean that you cannot use it at all. It means that niguv isn't enough. You have to take it to another level of hechsher, which means kiluv, as we've discussed before. Now what is not mentioned in the Brisa is what type of metal or what type of vessel are we dealing with? Is this a metal item? Is this a wood item? Is it a stone item? What exactly is it? Rashi explains, as you'll see from the flow of the Gemara, this case is dealing with a cheres, an earthenware vessel, which obviously is generally the most strict because it's bolea a lot. So it's an earthenware vessel, number one, and number two, it wasn't pitched, which sometimes is a good thing, sometimes makes it easier to kosher, sometimes makes it harder to kosher. So we're talking about an earthenware vessel, which was used for wine by an Ovdei Kochavim, never pitched, and now a Yisrael wants to use it. So Rebbe says, you can use niguv, that's enough, and the Chachamim say, you need kiluv. And then the Brisa continues, Moda Rebbe, bekankanin shel Ovdei Kochavim, shein asurin. But if there are kankanim, jugs, that belong to an Ovdei Kochavim that now Yisrael wants to use, that is not, niguv doesn't suffice. You would need to do kiluf on those kankanim in order for Yisrael to be machshir, the earthenware vessels. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? Ma hefesh bein zeh lezeh? Why should the gas and the machas and the mashpech be any different, according to Rebbe, than the kankanim, that one niguv suffices and the other one you have to do kiluf? So the Gemara answers, zeh machnisu l'kiyum, zeh ein machnisu b'kiyum. One is you use the wine is stored in these for long periods of time, and therefore, as a result, since it's stored in these vessels for a long time, the kankanim specifically, it absorbs more, and therefore, in order to kosher it, you have to do kiluf. And the other one, they're seeming more temporary, and therefore, in order to, it won't absorb as much in the earthenware vessels, and as a result, niguv suffices. So there are different levels of koshering depending on how long the item would sit in the vessel. Now the Brisa continues, Vishal Eitz Vishal Evin Yenagiv, and if it's a wooden item or a stone vessel, then Niguv suffices because it doesn't bolea, it doesn't absorb as much as Cheres. Niguv will be good. L'divrei Hakol V'im Hayu Mizufafin. Now the Brisa ends off it by saying, but if it's Mizufaf, if it's pitched, then Asurin, then even the Eitz and the Evin are not, niguv is not enough. Then if it's mezufaf, then you need to do kiluf. So you see that here, the zifuf, the makes it worse. So the, how do we, Gemara now says, v'hatnan gashel evin shezafsa ovid kochavim minag vavitora. But what do you mean? Our Mishnah seems to indicate, you have a stone press, which was pitched with tar, by an Ovdei Kochavim, and now a Yisrael wants to use it. How do you kosher it? You do niguv. So why over here are we saying in our Brisa that if it was zafsa, the only way to do it is kiluf? How could this be? It seems to be a stira. My answer is masnis into lo darachba, Brisa de darachba. Ah, there's a difference in how the press was used. In our Mishnah, the grapes weren't trampled by the Ovdei Kochavim into the press, so there wasn't a lot of pressure on the vessel, and as a result, it didn't absorb as much, therefore, niguv suffices. But in our Brisa, where they did darachba, where they're treading on or trampling on the grapes, so there's a lot of extra pressure on the vessels, and as a result, it would absorb more, therefore, you would need to do Kiluf. So that is the distinction. That's how we resolve the stira. Amar Mar, we mentioned before, Hagasa Amachas Hamashvech Shalav Kachamim, Rebbe Matra Beniga Vachachamim Osrin, that the Chachamim said it's prohibited. And now the Gemara says, well, hold on a second. We have another stira, Vahanan Tanan, Shel Cheres, Afal Pi, Shekalaf Esazephes, Hare Zu Asura. In our Mishnah, we said when it comes to earthenware, even if you do Kiluf on the pitch, it's still Asur. So how can you tell us that in this Brisa, that if you do Kiluf on the Cheres, it's going to be Mutter? It doesn't work. So the Gemara answers, you're right, it is a Stira, but I have a resolution. Amar Rava, Seifa de Masnisin Asan L'Rabbanan. The Seifa of our Mishnah follows the Shita of the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan Shita is that no matter what you do, Kiluf is never, if it's a Cheres item, it's never going to work. But according to Rebbe, Kiluf will work on a Cheres item. So the Mishnah is more Machmir because it's following the Shita of the Rabbanan. Okay, now the Gemara goes on to a somewhat different topic. Darash Rava, Nava Arsuchu, that if you want to kasher one of these wine presses, the way to do it is Nava Arsuchu. You should heat it up with hot water and pour it on top of, heat up a hot water and pour it on top of the wine press. Now, before we go any further, that seems to be, we're talking about it, the way that Rashi understands it, the way Tosa certainly understands it, is that we're doing a hagala, we're kashing it with hot water, but the way we're kashing it with hot water is irui. We're doing an irui roschin, we're pouring hot water on top of the vessel. So the question is that a permissible form of kashering with an irui? So Tosos has two opinions over here. Is irui like a kli rishon, or is irui considered a kli sheni? It's one thing that when you put the item inside the vessel, that the boiling hot water, so you're putting it in the kli rishon, but when you're pouring, it's removed from the vessel. So is that pouring considered like it's a second vessel as it pours onto the item, which means that the Hagala won't work as well, or is it considered a Kli Rishon? So Rabbeinu Tam says, Irui is Kli Rishon, and then he brings the Raya would be from this Gemara, Nava Arsuchu. You can kasher Irui Kli Rishon, but the Rashbam, or Tosos quotes the Rashbam that argues and says, no, Irui is a Kli Sheni. If Irui is a Kli Sheni doesn't do a great job of kashering, well then how can it work over here? Why was it able to be kashered? Nava Arsuchu. So the Rashbam explains that we're talking about a wine press. Everything that was used on the wine was cold. There was no heat involved. So certainly, even a Kli Sheni, Irui Kli Sheni would suffice to kasher it because everything, again, was cold. So that is the machlokas. How do we kasher in general? Tosa says, no matter what, at the end of Tosos, he says, the halacha is not this way. We always do hagala in a kli rishon. No matter what, even if it was used, there's another discussion about hishtamshus. Even if it was used only one time for hot as an irui or in a kli sheni, we always kasher in a kli rishon, make a low plug. That's actually a machlokas Sephardim and Ashkenazim. It's brought down in Hilchos Pesach with regards to kashering, but the general Ashkenazic psak is always to kasher in a kli rishon. Continues the Gemara, Rava, ki have the mishadar gulfi laharpanya sachav lo pamayu v'chasim larbitzayu. That when Rava would send over these empty jugs, Rashi says, gulfi, or empty jugs, to Harpania, this town, he would cover it, he would flip them over, and he would seal it. In other words, he was concerned that the Ovid Kochavim would get to them and ruin them. So he would flip them over so that the opening was on its bottom and it was sealed. Why? Kasavar called Darash Machnik Sulukim, Afilu Fisha Gazir Berbanan. He was concerned that anything which is Machnik Sulukim, which is going to be used for, generally used for longer periods of time, we're going to make a gezera that we have to be afraid. Even if you don't actually give it to the Ovid Kachavim, Rashi says, we're going to be afraid, we're going to view it, the jug, like wine itself, and therefore we want to make sure that an Ovid Kachavim doesn't get to it, so we turn it over and keep it sealed, almost like a double seal on it, to make sure, double simon, so that we can testify, we can assume that it wasn't used or ruined. And here's the Gemara. So finally we get to the question that we all want to know. It says, Yanagi, the whole time we've been discussing Niguv, but how does Niguv work? So Rav Amr B'mayim, Rav Barachana Amr B'efer. Rav says you do Niguv with water, and Rav Barachana says you do it with ash. Rav Amr B'mayim, B'mayim lo B'efer. Rav Barachana Amr B'efer, B'efer lo B'mayim. What do you mean, just water, just ash? How does that even work? Ella, rather, the Gemara says, Rav Amr B'mayim, B'huadin la'efer. They both agree that it's mime and afer. But what's the difference? And actually, there is no difference. Velo pligi, they don't even argue. Habiritivasa, habiyabeshta. Really depends on what type of vessel we're dealing with. If the vessel is somewhat moist, then what are you supposed to do? You're first supposed to do afer and then water. If it's a dry vessel, first you do water and then you do afer. So they're actually, we're not arguing the entire time. Itmar, Be Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri Tarti Talas, Shmuel Amr Talas Dalid. So, in the Be Rav, they said in the name of Rav the following, that it wasn't just Maim then Afer, rather it was Tarti or Talas. It could be either Maim Afer Maim or Maim Afer. It really depends. That sometimes, if the first time if you have to do, as Rashi says, let's do it this way. Tarti tlas biritifta tarti afer umayim. If it was moist, it would be afer, then water. But if it was dry, it would be water, ash, water, because you can't leave the ash on it alone, so you have to wash it up afterwards with water. Shmuel amr tlas dalin. And Shmuel says, no, sometimes it's actually three or four. What do you mean? Well, if it's moist, then you go afer, mayim, and afer. But what about the water afterwards? So right now we're not to counting that water afterwards. Or sometimes you have to do dalid. What's dalid? So you do afer mayim, if it was dry. Okay, so besur masnu hachi, bepemadisa masnu bey rav. So and that's how they taught it in Surah, but in Pemadisa they taught it differently. Bepemadisa masnu bey rav amri mishved rav talas dalid, Shmuel amr dalid, hey. And that Rav would say three or four, and Shmuel said four or five. What do you mean? How can they have such a different understanding of Rav and Shmuel? Says, well, please, there actually isn't an machlokas here. Marka chashiv maya basrai, marloka chashiv maya basrai. In Surah, they didn't count the last washing off of the ash with water, so they said it was three or four. But in Pumbedisa, they calculated the last washing with mayim, so therefore it came out to be either dalid or hey, so we finally understand what Nigov is. We understand this idea of Nava Arsuchu. What's the status of Iri Klirishon? Is it like a Klirishon or like a Klisheni? And we have a difference understanding with Cheres. This Cheres, is Cheres impossible to kasher even with Kiluf? Or does Kiluf suffice? So those are some of the highlights of this last section of the Daf.